I agree with Brother Don. There is nowhere else that I would rather be this morning than in the presence of God. And I couldn't help as I sat here this morning and just feasted. I thought, you know, that's how it was last time we were all together. Some of us, last time we were here was for the wedding. I don't know what's been going on between now and then. But I am so thankful that we can come back together and experience the wonderful anointing of the presence of the Lord. And the world, the things that the world has to offer does not even begin to compare to coming in. The fellowship of God's people, our country and our world is being torn apart. But you know, when the blood has been applied, like Brother Don said, when the blood has been applied, we just come together in love and unity and fellowship from different backgrounds and different parts of the country and different countries. But we're joined together by the love of God and by His Spirit. So I thank God for that this morning. Today is Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Amen. I do want to wish all of the fathers a very happy Father's Day. Fatherhood is an institution of God. God's the one that created that, and I just so appreciate my father's here today.
Thank the Lord.
Not all of us have our fathers here, but I am so thankful for those that have stood in the gap. For those that have been faithful and diligent at their post of duty to not only teach us truth, but to set an example. Yes. And for those this morning that may not have an earthly father that has been a spiritual example, they filled a place on this earth that no one else can fill. But I'm also thankful for the spiritual fathers.
Yes.
For those that have been faithful that we can look at in the past, and I thought about the scripture that said, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, there's a great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us that have demonstrated to us that the words in the Bible are more than just dead.
Yes.
It's more than just a dead letter, but they exemplify to us by the conduct of their life, by their devotion to God, that what we have, that it's real.
Yes.
And it created an appetite that I want what they have.
Yes.
You know, the Lord has something for each and every one of us this morning. I have to acknowledge as the Sunday school went forward, and this happened last time too. But as the Sunday school went forward, I guess this is just kind of part two. The title of the message this morning is The Land of Our Fathers.
Yeah.
The land of our fathers. Over the book of Genesis 31, and I'm usually sitting down 10 minutes before I'm getting up. So, this morning. So you pray the Lord would just have His way and lunch is later. Genesis chapter 31, beginning with verse 3. And to save some time, I believe you're familiar with what the Scripture teaches, some of the history we're going to read a little bit. But Jacob had gone and gotten married. He left his father's house. And he'd gone and gotten married, and he was laboring with his father-in-law, Laban. And he was prospering where he was. But all was not well. And in verse 3 of chapter 31, it said, "The Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Return to the land of thy fathers." Now, I believe this morning that there are some that need to return to the land of their fathers. And He is not speaking here, and I want us to preface the message with this. We are not interested in lifting up or exalting the ways of man. We're not interested in following cunningly devised fables or traditions or commandments of men. But the land of our fathers is talking about the spiritual land that God promised Abraham. So when the Lord told Jacob, "I want you to return to the land of thy fathers, and I will be with thee," He was talking about the perfect plan of God.
Yes.
I don't want you to stay where you're at. I want you to get up and I want you to move and go back to where your father was.
Yes.
Well, we have a wonderful heritage this morning, don't we? You know, we're living in a time in young people, I want to caution you. I want to caution you, be careful about tearing down the heritage that our fathers have left for us.
Amen.
Because there's a mentality out in the world that just do your own thing.
Yes.
Brother Ken already touched on it. And then you start getting older and you start realizing that, you know, I want to go back to the land of my fathers.
Yes.
I realize that it was the best way. Living for God is indeed the best way.
Yes.
And when the enemy paints a picture that glitters, the world glitters, know that the enemy is a liar.
Yes.
He is the father of lies.
Yes.
And when the devil tries to paint a good picture, I would that remember there is a land this morning. And it is the land of our fathers. And let's be careful about tearing down that wonderful spiritual heritage that we have.
Yes, amen.
It's more than a belief system. It's more than just another church.
Yes, that's right.
It is more than just another religion. You see, the land of our fathers is talking about that land of promise where the anointing and the power of God rest. And there may be some people tonight that are this morning that have not found that land. And they are looking for it. And they are seeking it. They are doing everything they know that God wants them to do. They are God's children.
Yes.
If they have been washed in the blood, that's the beauty of the Church of God.
Yes.
The Church of God is more than non-denominational.
Yes.
The Church of God encompasses everybody that has been washed in the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
But it is also true that everyone that has been washed in the blood of Jesus has not found the full of the land of promise.
Yes,
and the Lord is still looking for people that will go back to Father's land.
Yes.
That will go back to the land of our fathers and find and explore the fullness of the promised land.
Yes.
So although we don't cut anybody off, we accept those that have a profession of Jesus Christ that have been washed in the blood. They're some of God's children.
Yes.
They may be of a different tribe and they may have not come into Canaan land yet. But we do not want to go back to where we came from.
Right.
I don't want to go back to Egypt.
No.
I don't want to go back to Babylon.
Amen.
I don't want to go back to the world. But I want to dwell where the presence of God is.
Yeah.
In the fullness of truth.
Yeah.
And if I don't have the fullness of truth this morning, by the help of God, I want to get there.
Yes.
But I don't want my decisions and my choices to take me back to the very thing that the Lord delivered me from one time.
Yes, that's so.
And so it began with Abraham, didn't it? When the Lord came to Jacob and said, go back to the land of thy father.
Yes.
He was talking about where Abraham was. So let's read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now you may say that seems like a contradiction. If your father's house is full of idolatry and sin and uncleanness and men's religions, get up and leave father's house.
Yes.
But he wants us to come to where the spiritual father's land is.
Yes.
And so the Lord came to Abram and said, get up. Get thee out of the country and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Leave where you're at. If where you are at spiritually this morning, if the blessings of God are not there, I want to challenge you, encourage you to get up. Get up and leave. You see, when the Lord comes and tells us to move, there's a promise that's tied with it.
Yes.
The Lord's promise was not going to take them to a worse condition.
Right.
He said, I want you to leave where you're at because I have a promise that I'm going to do something great in your life.
Amen.
And you know that Abraham did not see the fullness yet. But because he was faithful, he passed something down to his son Isaac. And because Isaac was faithful, the Lord passed something down from Isaac to Jacob. And through the generations, they came to the fulfillment of God's plan. You know, some of our fathers Maybe they didn't see the fullness of the promise, but they stood true in what they knew and understood.
Yes.
This morning, for those of you that have children, you also are passing inheritance to your children. And it is up to them whether they choose to accept it. Whether they choose to accept that heritage of faithfulness and that heritage of truth. But remember, you are setting an example before your children. And so Abraham was faithful, and it said over in the book of Hebrews 11 that it was by faith.
Yeah.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing what?
Whither he went.
Yeah. He didn't know where he's going to end up. You know, this morning, sometimes the enemy would like to capitalize on that truth. Mm-hmm. If you give your all to God and follow Him, you don't know what He's going to call you to do, and it might look kind of scary out there. God has your best interest at heart this morning. And anything that the Lord asks of you to do, it will bring you to a better place when you are obedient to it. It is a lie of the enemy that makes us think sometimes that if we follow the Lord, we're going to have to do things we just don't want to do, and life is going to be miserable. That's what the world does. The world offers these false promises. Follow the lust of the flesh and it's awesome. Give in to all these different lustful pleasures of the world. Yes, maybe for just a little bit of time. Yes, there's a little bit of pleasure, but I'll tell you, it doesn't last very long. And it's going to end up in heartache and pain. It'll split your homes up. It'll break your relationship. You'll be lonely, and the addictions of this life do never bring the real peace and joy that people are seeking. That's a lie of the enemy.
Yeah.
But when the Lord comes along, He says, I want you to make a change in your life. Don't be afraid of following the Lord. Don't be afraid, but know there's a promise associated with it.
Yeah,
and so, Lord, help us as Abraham to get up and follow the leadings of the Lord. Young people, do not be afraid to say yes to the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to lay the things of this world down and embrace wholeheartedly a life of purity and holiness and godliness, because that's where the blessings are. I'll tell you, being here this morning is a lot better than any ball game. It's a lot better than all the bars and the taverns and all those things out there, because my soul is satisfied this morning. And I can leave here and I can feed on this, and it's going to keep me going. And then the Lord's going to come by again. Oh, thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Thank God.
So then Abraham went out. He was called to leave something. Let's remember, to get to the land of our fathers, it's going to cost something.
Yes,
and it's going to take us leaving something to go somewhere else. Well, God led him to the land of promise, didn't He?
Yes.
Abraham was there, and then, and just briefly, God confirmed that promise to Isaac. See, this is the next generation. In the 26th chapter of Genesis, verse 2, the Lord appeared to Isaac and He said, go not down to Egypt. I don't want you to go down to Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land and I will be with thee. And then He said, I'm going to make thy seed to multiply as the stars in heaven. I'm going to give you these countries. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. Your father was faithful. Isaac, don't go to Egypt. But I want you to dwell in this land, and I'm going to be faithful to you.
Yeah.
So let's go back to Jacob now. Toiling in at Laban's house, seemingly prospering, but yet, again, all was not well. And the Lord said, get up and return to thy father's land, the land of thy fathers. In the 32nd chapter of Genesis, verse 9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country, into thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Verse 12, he said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So we have a history here. We've got Abraham that God led to what was going to be known later as the Promised Land. That was Canaan. And we find Isaac and Jacob, who is later named what?
Israel.
We find that God worked in each of those generations, but God had a plan in mind for them. And then we find that they were led in, Jacob and his sons were led, went to Egypt eventually because of the famine, where Joseph was there, and they were provided for. Their families multiplied, and hence we have the 12 tribes plus the tribe of Levi. There, they grew, expanded, but then they got so great that they were put into slavery. You know, it is the design of the enemy when you begin prospering in the things of this life. It is the Satan's design to put you back into slavery.
That is true.
But God had a plan. Israel called Joseph to him, and he said, I'm going to die. But he said that God shall be with you and bring you again to the land of your fathers. It's not God's plan for you to stay here in Egypt. God provided a land. It was promised. And it's not God's will for you to stay here. And so we read about the birth of Moses. And remember that Moses was seeking God, and God heard the cry of his people. You know, God has people that are not here in this chapel this morning. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that we don't... Someone says, now, who are their grandparents? Thank God we don't know every saint's grandparents. In other words, it's not about who you know except Jesus Christ. And so then God heard the cry of his people who were in Egypt. And I believe there are still some today.
Yes.
They don't know about the promised land. They know enough to make changes in their life, but they don't know what so many of us here have a heritage.
Yes, that's true.
And the knowledge of truth and what the Bible teaches. And so Moses, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he said in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was hiding his face and he was looking to God, and the Lord said, I have heard their cry. This is what he told Moses in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Exodus. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them unto a land, unto a good land, unto a large and unto a land flowing with what?
Milk
and honey. You're not, I have a place, I don't want them to stay slaves. But I want them to be free, and I want to take them back to the land of their fathers, to a place that flows with milk and honey. Yeah. Thus begun the Exodus. And it was a long journey home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, this morning, that as just as during the time of Moses, there were people, it is today, that there are some that are falling by the wayside because of unbelief. There are some that have become rebellious and they don't want to follow where the Lord is leading. There are some that are just flat out disobedient, falling by the wayside in the wilderness. And there are some that are building outside the promised land. This is the land of my fathers, and I just want to do my own thing. And so I'll settle out here. But you know what? When you do your own thing, really what you're doing is you're settling where everybody else in the world is. And you're sitting here trying to say, well, I'm independent. No, you're not. You're going with the crowd. You know, serving the Lord is a straight and narrow way.
Yes.
It's a straight and narrow way, but it's a good way. Yes. And it brings us this morning to a land that flows with milk and honey. Have you found some of that milk and honey in the promised land? You know, that was the land of our fathers. As I was meditating, just different ones were coming to my mind.
Yes.
About the heritage. They found something in that land. How many messages did Uncle Chuck preach on love? We were kind of talking about that the other night. Someone asked him one time, when are you going to preach something else? And he said, well, I guess when the people get it, the Lord will give me a different message. But do you know that it is true that there was a heritage there? I don't want to lose. And it's not because of Uncle Chuck. It's because I go back and I say, wait, that actually is what the Bible teaches.
Yes.
That's the promised land.
Yes.
That was more, but we have a heritage. Thought about the compassion of Uncle Steve.
Yes.
That was a heritage that we have. I thought about the power of Brother Hargrave.
Yes.
That was a heritage that we have. And it's not that I want to be Uncle Chuck or Uncle Steve or Brother Hargrave, but they demonstrated something that they had found, the reality, something from that land of promise. And I said, Lord, I want to dwell in the land of my fathers. I want to have that anointing and that power. But folks, to get there, we're going to have to follow the leadings of the Lord.
Yes.
Wherever He goes, wherever He leads us.
Yes.
Well, the land of promise, you see, when they got to Canaan land, they dwelt in cities that they hadn't built.
Yes.
They harvested crops that they had not planted. It was a land of victory.
Yes.
It still had battles, didn't they? It was a land of giants. Do you know serving the Lord doesn't mean you won't have giants?
That's right.
It doesn't mean that all the cities, you just look at them and all the walls are going to fall down. You might have to march around them for a little while. But the reality is, when we follow the Lord, the victory is ours.
Yes.
And the promise that was given to Joshua is still ours this morning. That every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I will be with you. Yes, they did not gain the promised land overnight. But I tell the folks at home often, I said they conquered Canaan land day by day, and little by little, and step by step. There's going to be battles and there's going to be giants, but the blessing is that I'm headed the right direction.
Yes,
I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to the wilderness, but I want to possess the land of my fathers. Let's go the right direction, folks. Lord bless us this morning. We are, the Scripture says, a chosen generation. You can find it in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I dare say if you haven't already covered it, it'll come up in your Sunday school lesson. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of what? Out of darkness. And into His marvelous light. You know this morning that those terms were used for the Jewish nation. A peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Those were terms that were used to define and talk about the Jewish people as God's people. But not anymore. Now, it is for those that are following Jesus Christ. He said, you are that chosen generation. Holy nation, they were separated. As we heard this morning, they were separated from the world. Not just to be different for difference sake.
That's right.
But because I found a land of promise.
Yes.
I found that when I maintain my relationship with God, I have greater victory.
Yes.
And I have greater joy. And when I go here in the world, and maybe it's not even sin. Folks, despise not the heritage of your fathers.
Yes.
It's not sin, but when I go and involve myself in that, it just seems like the connection, it starts getting a little fuzzy. So I'm going to lay that down. If someone says, oh, you think you're better than everyone else, or you're saying I'm a sinner because I do. No, I'm not saying that. But I found that there's a heritage I received that my fathers really did know.
Yes.
And when I saw that in my own life, that when I do that, maybe I had backslidden at the moment, but it started hindering my walk with God.
Yes.
And so then I lay it down.
Yes.
And this is what happens. Okay, so Brother Donnie, the deal more deals with you. Individually. So Brother Donnie laid something down and we come together. You know what? The Lord dealt with me. Yes, I know it's not sin, but I felt it was a hindrance because I want to experience the joy of the Lord. And Brother Ken, he said, you know what? I have that same experience. So we come together and start worshiping together. And you come and you hear those three of us talking. You say, well, that's just religion. That's just a rule that you have because you're all doing that. Don't minimize and lower a standard of godliness and holiness to a rule of the church. You understand now? Because maybe a lot of us are doing the same thing. It's not because of rule, because we found that's where the promises of God were the richest in our life. And then people come along and say, you don't have to do that. I'll do it differently. You have the right to do it differently, but I will caution you. When you have seen the Lord bless your fathers not doing some things and doing certain things, I want to learn from their example, and it'll keep me out of some trouble.
Yes.
But when I think and say, I want to go do it anyway, you have the right.
Yes,
But if you will keep your heart open to God through a process of time, you're going to start returning back to the land of your fathers and realize that this is where the blessings of God were. Not because of my father, but because the Word of God. This is the land of promise, what it gave to us. Well, remember on the day of Pentecost? When the Holy Spirit came and Peter was preaching to the people and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" Yeah. You know, what do we need to do here? Well, and Peter responded and he said, "Repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost." He said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children. And to all them that are afar off, as even as many as the Lord calleth." So what is this land this morning? It's a land where we have repented. The land of promise, the land of our fathers, is a place where we have clarity with God. It's a place that we're not living in sin anymore. It means we're not slaves. I'm not a slave to the world, a slave to sin, but I don't want to be a slave to religion either. See, we've been set free. Well, you do it just because may I address a subject here just real briefly? Well, I'm not going over taking that medicine or going to the doctor because my church says I can't. No, they don't. No, they don't. What the Bible says is have faith in God. There's a place, an element of faith that is a process of learning and growing in, and I'm not going to have a sword raised to cut off my brother if there's an area that his faith is lacking. But it is something when you can begin to get whole, that there is an experience with God that I don't want to go over here because I'm placing myself in the hands of God, and that's where I'm at peace. When people are praying and trying to work up an emotion and trying to have mind over matter for divine healing, that is not of God. True faith is when we trust His Word. If He says He's going to heal me, He's going to heal me. But I know this, my faith is bigger than healing. My faith is the Lord. I'm in Your hands and You can do with me what You want me to do. And then if I don't get healed, I'm still at peace in my heart. I'm still I have victory and I have rest because I know I'm in good hands. Then someone else has that experience, and we talk about faith and we talk about trusting the Lord, and pretty soon the devil comes in and says, "Oh, you just made a rule. Where's it at?" Well, you missed the point. You see, you missed the point. Lord, help us to value and learn and grow. And this covers in so many different areas and places. The Holy Spirit, that's part of the promised land. A place of anointing. We don't have man rule. Yes, God uses people. God uses people in His church. But you know, we value Holy Spirit leadership. I wasn't handed a program when we came in this morning. We greatly value that. It's not a free-for-all. Some of you may be going to Monarch. It's not a free-for-all. It's not a free-for-all. I can just do whatever I want. No, you can't. But be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit and recognize respecting your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, forgiveness. You know, part of this land, and we can't cover the whole Bible this morning. But a place of forgiveness. Do you know that's part of the land of our fathers? A place that when our enemies do this wrong, we found forgiveness and love. And release the penalty of wrongdoing. It's a place of kindness. It's a place of allowing the Lord to move in our life, loving our neighbor as ourself. That's the promised land. That's the land the Lord wants us to live in daily. Well, walking in that promised land, you know, the kingdom of God, it's not physical. That land this morning, it's not physical. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. That's the promised land. There's a place that you can have true victory in Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, maybe you need to leave the land that you have now and go and start possessing the land of your fathers. That's where there's promises. A land where marriage means something. It's a land, and again, there's so many truths in the Scripture, but it's a land where When you say I do, it means for life.
Amen.
Faithfulness, consistency. It's a land where men are still men and women are still women. It's a land where we're not being hijacked by the philosophies of the world, but where women are still showing that love and deference to their husbands, and husbands are still loving their wives and giving themselves to her as Christ gave Himself for the church. You see, that's not real popular anymore, but you want the happiest marriage? Give me the land of my fathers.
Yes.
Dad, give me your land. Let me possess that land. That's where the blessings are. Isn't it? That's the example that has been set. But we find the reality in the Scripture.
Yes.
Separation from the world. Okay? That's being covered. But the land that God has given to His people this morning, it's not the world.
Right.
It's a land that we are different. I still believe in it, and I know sometimes say, well, people always talk about this. No, they don't. But you know, the promised land is a place that's separated in our spirits.
Yes.
But we're also separated by the way we conduct ourselves, the way we talk.
Yes.
You know, people of the world, there's things that saints ought to still blush about. As for the old paths, wherein is the good way? You read the passage above that, it's talking about you don't even blush anymore. You don't even blush. It's like, oh, it's just commonplace. We ought to still be walking so close to God that uncleanness causes us to back up. And I don't want to be a part of that. Modesty, that's a Bible doctrine. I appreciate the heritage and the examples of our fathers and our mothers in Israel. A place where it is still glory, because the Bible says it is. A woman's long hair is her glory. And it seems like that we don't have the glory that there used to be.
Amen?
So these are things that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but it's a shame for a woman to cut off her glory too. That's a heritage we have because it honors God. If there's something in my life that the Bible teaches, I know it honors God, that I want to do that.
Right.
Because when I back away from it, I can rest assured that's not going to be the only thing. There's going to be a lot of things inside going on that I'm going to do it my way. And the Lord said, get up out of that land. I got something better for you.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can doctor up on the outside.
Right.
In other words, you can doctor it up like the world, and you can doctor it up like a saint, but if you're a sinner, you're still a sinner.
Right.
If you're still living in Egypt in your heart, you can dress a certain way and look all pious, and you're still full of sin. The answer is not just following an outward standard. It's getting an experience with God. The land of our fathers is a land of devotion. The Lord, whatever it takes, I want to follow you. A life that's dedicated to God, dedicated to His cause, willing to sacrifice time and money for the cause of God.
Yes.
Possess the land this morning. That's our heritage. Lord, help us to seek for the land of our fathers. The land, it's spiritual. It goes way beyond what the world has. Now, I'd like us to come over to the 47th chapter of Genesis, and we'll be done shortly. But in Genesis chapter 47, there's a beautiful passage of Scripture. 47, verse 27. It said, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt. Now, this is when Jacob again had left Canaan. They were dwelling in Egypt. I guess I should have asked if you can hear me in the back, but I think you probably can. He was living in Egypt, and it said the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And so he called Joseph to his bedside and said, if I have found grace in thy sight, I pray thee, put thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Now that sounds a little odd today if someone told their son, now put your hand under my thigh and tell me you're going to do this. But at this time, that was an accepted token of a promise or a vow that was being made. And so he came, and this is what Israel asked of his son Joseph. He said, bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. Bury me not in Egypt, But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And Joseph said, I will do as thou hast said. This morning, I have two of my sons here. Don't bury me in Egypt. Don't bury me in Egypt. You see, more so in the past than today, families were buried together, weren't they?
Yes, it's true.
There was a tie and a bond. It was a place, I don't know how many times I've gone out to the cemetery and sat in my car and prayed and meditated right out where Uncle Chuck was buried when I lived in Guthrie years ago. It wasn't because there was anything. It was just a good place to remember.
Yes.
It was a good place to remember. I would that you remember your heritage this morning. Remember where you came from. Remember those that have gone before us and what they taught us. And don't easily discount it.
Yes.
Don't easily discount it. Well, he said, don't bury me in Egypt, because see, Egypt was a type of sin. It represents the world. It represents oppression.
Yes.
It represents slavery. He said, if I'm ever going to go to the promised land, you know, we're going to have to leave Egypt. If we want to dwell in the promised land, we're going to have to leave Egypt. But this is what the enemy is trying to cause too many people to do, is they have one foot in Egypt,
yes,
and they have one foot in the promised land. It doesn't work.
That's true.
If we want to experience the great blessings of the Lord, we need to leave Egypt. Well, our destiny this morning is not in Egypt. And if you're pleased with the world, you're not sick enough of it. The Lord wants you to get sick of what the world has to offer. Abraham buried Sarah in Canaan land, and they offered him a plot to bury her. They were going to give it to Abraham. We won't take the time to read it, but he said no. So in essence, I'm going to pay the full price.
Yes.
I'm going to pay for this.
Yeah.
Because it was valuable.
Yeah.
This morning, if you want to enjoy the blessings of God, yes, it's going to cost something. But the benefits far outweigh the cost. And so he buried Sarah there. It's where those going before, later on, that's where they buried. And that's what Israel was saying. Don't bury me in Egypt. I don't want my heritage to be Egypt.
Yeah.
When I die, I want my children. I want my family. I want you to be able to say that, you know what, Michael, he wasn't in Egypt. When we remember him, we don't go back to Egypt to think about him, but he was buried in the promised land. If we want to be buried in the promised land, we need to live in the promised land today. We need to live. Parents, especially those of you with young children, you are passing on something to your children. Make wise decisions this morning. Live close to God that they can look on and say, you know what, I want to dwell in the land of my father. And I want to dwell in the land of my spiritual mother. Don't bury me in Egypt. I want to live in that spiritual land, that land of promise. And you know, it's only going to come when we choose this morning. When we choose God above everything else. We are living in a time of people are so lackadaisical in their experience with God. It seems like God's been putting on the back burner. But I will say the land of our fathers is a place of dedication,
yeah,
of consecration, of putting God above the temporal things of this life. It's a place of putting family, placing emphasis and importance on family. It's a place of love and forgiveness and kindness and holy living. So where are you living this morning? Let's return to the land of our fathers,
yes,
and appreciate the wonderful heritage God has given.
Yes.
So all you fathers today, I just look around. God bless you all. We love you very much. Thank you for being there.
Yes.
Thank you for being there for our children when we're not there.
Yes.
Thank you for, you know, I've noticed about preachers, and I'm just going to say a little something, I'll sit down. I pray with a lot of preachers' children. And you think, well, don't they have? No, their parents left an example. But sometimes the Lord needs someone else to go and minister to their own children. And I've had many other people pray with my children. And I am so thankful this morning that there are still men that I have confidence in that can pray for my children.
Yes, amen.
Be that man. Be that man. be that woman that we can count on and say, this is the way. Follow their example, and it'll take us closer to God. Amen.
Yes, praise God.